And the topic of today's shiur, the topic of today's shiur is entitled, I like the title, A Tale of Four Rashis. Now, in the middle of the night, at about 3 in the morning, it occurred to me that there's another Rashi that I'm going to need in order to explain some of these Rashis. So I put in another Rashi. And I put in parentheses, and a fifth. The basic shiur is the tale of the four Rashis. The fifth one will illuminate and elucidate and clarify for us the other Rashis. And it begins in last week's Sedra, by Yechid Yaakov Beretz Mitzchayim Shvashtei Shammai Yaakov lived in the land of Egypt 17 years, by Yehiyim Yaakov. The days of Yaakov, Shnei Chayim, the years of his life, were 120 and 47 years. Rashi says, by Yechi Yaakov, and we talked about this Rashi last week, Lama Parsha Zuz Suma, why is this Parsha closed? And we explained last week that between the end of Vayigash and the beginning of Vayechi, there is no pause, there's no separation, there is no space. But immediately after Vayigash begins Vayechi, and every other sedra in Torah, there is a space of a line between the end of a sedra to the beginning of the next. The next sedra begins on the following, at the beginning of the following line. And here it's closed. This is called closed. Long Lufi, Shekinah, Shinifta, Yaakov Avinu, because once Yaakov Avinu passed away, Nistemu Einehem V'Libam Shel Yisrael. The eyes and the heart of Israel were closed Mitzorat HaShibud, because of the suffering of the enslavement. With the death of Yaakov, Hitchilu L'Shavdam, they began to enslave them. And enslave them means in subtle ways. In subtle ways. They were... Jews were no longer considered this special group of guests in this country. And we know, of course, that certainly in this set, we see how everything deteriorates and falls apart completely. They are accused of being a fifth column in the event of war. They're going to side with the enemy against Egypt. There is something that we have to do about these people. There must be a final solution to the Jewish problem. That's what Paro said. But what I want to point out is, it says, Lefisha Nistamu, what was closed? What became closed? The eyes and the heart of the Jewish people. Precisely what that means, we don't really know yet. All right? Let's see this week's sample. Number two. Moshe has grown up in the house of Pharaoh. By Eitzei El Echav, he went out to his brothers. By Yar B'Sivlo Tam, he saw their suffering, their burdens. By Yar Ish Mitzri, Make Ish Ibni Mei Echav, and he saw an Egyptian who was striking a Hebrew, one of his brothers. Rashi says, By Yar B'Sivlo Tam, he saw their burdens. Hey, does this sound a little familiar? Natan Einav V'libo. He focused his eyes and his heart, L'yot Meitzar Aleim, to be distressed over them. To be distressed over them. Before the Shir, Malka asked me, how did Moshe Rabbeinu know who his brothers are? How did he know about it? So I told him what I had said a few weeks ago about Devorah, the nursemaid of Rivkin in the house of Lavan and Betuel. She's an agent in place. She is the one who is teaching this little Rivka all about Avram and Sarah and this invisible God who created the whole world. And still a hate. It's all taking place. Who was it that Miriam brought to the daughter of Pharaoh, a Hebrew woman who is going to nurse this child? It was his mother, Yocheved. They may never have known that this was his real mother. But there she is with him in the palace, and what is she raising? She's raising a prince of Egypt. She's raising a Moshe Rabbeinu, so that when he goes out, he's heard about what's happening outside the palace. And he grows up and he goes out and he sees and he focuses and he concentrates. He wants to feel their pain. Same words I use. Natam einam v'libo. He focused his eyes and his heart. Is there any relationship between Rashi 2 and Rashi 1? Of course, I think yes. But let's go to Rashi number 3. Vayomer Hashem, God said, Ra'o ra'iti et oni ami. I have seen the suffering of my people, Hashem in Mitzrayim, are in Egypt. This is when God is preparing to speak to Moshe. I have seen the suffering of my people in Egypt. Ve'etzachatan shamati, and I heard their cries. Mipnei notzav, from the four their taskmasters, because of their taskmasters. Ki yodati et machlovav, for I know its pains. I know the pains of my people, Israel. Rashi says, you see, when you do it at 3 o'clock in the morning, you know what you do? You mix Rashis. The Rashi on Ki Yodati et Machovav is Rashi 4. And then we'll get back. Ki Yodati et Machovav. What does Rashi say? You see, where there's a number 7 and by 4. For I know its pains. The term knowing in this verse is applied to God. Kamo vayeda Elokim. And God knew. Kloma. Listen to what Rashi says. Ki samti lev. I focus my heart. Lid bonain. To understand. Vladate machovavim. To know his pain. Vloge eloti enai. And I did not hide my eyes. Vloge etom. And I shall not close my ears to their cry. God is reawakening in a sense. But watch the order of things. Which comes first? Eye or heart? When it's talking about God, it says, Kisamti lev, lid bonain voladat et machovav, velo helamti enai. First, God says that I have paid attention of the heart. I feel their pain. And below, Herlanti and I did not hide my eyes. Below, Tom, Osnay, and my ears are not blocked from their cries. The fourth pasuk, Vayomer, Anochi Elokei Avicha. This is God speaking to Moshe, and he tells him, I'm the God of your father, the God of Avraham, the God of Yitzhak, the God of Yaakov. Vayaster Moshe Eponav, and Moshe hid his face, Ki Yoremi Havit El Elokim. And then the pasuk goes on to say, and that also got cut out over here, but it goes on to say, Vayeda Elokim. God says, I know what's happening to my people. I know what's happening to my people. Rashi says, Vayeda Elkin, and God knew, Nosan Aleim Leiv, Velo Helin Einav Me'ev. You hear that? Fourth Rashi. Again, heart and eyes. God says, I, Natan Aleim Leiv, focus his heart upon them, did not hide his eyes from them. We have 4 Rashis. 3 in this week's Seder, 1 in last week's Seder, each talking about the heart and the eyes. The eyes and the heart. With regard to Yaakov and Klal Yisrael, it says, with the beginning of the sheepwood, Nistamue Nahem believe on their eyes and their heart. Moshe goes out and he sees what's happening with his brothers. Nasan Einav believe both his eyes and his heart. Whenever we talk about God, it works the other way around. Rashi says that God first comes heart and second come eyes. What does this all mean? And this is obviously not some kind of a random decision by Rashi. Eyes, heart, what's that? Achillik. Leisa surach and levavcham gacharei enechem. Don't follow your heart and your eyes. There has to be meaning to it. And I have attempted to make some meaning out of it. And let's begin with most of what I have to say is going to be on the other side. Don't go there yet. Don't turn over there. Don't do it there yet. Don't rush. If we take Rashi 1 and Rashi 2, the Rashi in Vayechi, where the Rashi talks about the darkness that begins to descend, and now the eyes and the heart of the Jewish people have become closed, shut. There's something that is weighing very heavily on them. 200 years later, less than 200 years later, Moshe walks out, and you know what happens? His eye and his heart is focused. He's going to, he feels distress over them. He feels distress. Some years ago, I'll be truthful. 1960 was how many years ago? 47. It took me a while. I figured I was 47. It might have been in 61 or 62. There was a dinner in Toronto. Some newcomer to Toronto was being honored by a local yeshiva that he was supporting. His name was Moshe Reichman. And the guest speaker then was Rav Schneur Kotler. And in the course of his remarks, he quoted his father. In the name of his father, Avraham, and I always like to quote this in Yiddish first, precisely as I heard it, and these words, they had a tremendous amount of meaning for me. And then we'll say it in English for anybody who, if there be anybody here who knoweth not Yiddish. Rav Schneur said in the name of his father, Rav Avraham, the Yeshua from Ador can nor kumen durch der, was hat nicht übergewend dem Chet Ador. The salvation of a generation can only come through somebody who did not commit the sin or the error of that generation. And he completed the sentence by saying, Das gewend Mordechai in Shushan Abiyah. That was Mordechai in Shushan. I assume, of course, what he means is that while everybody is bowing and bending before Haman, Mordechai doesn't bend and doesn't bow. As the Gemara had said, that earlier, 45 years earlier, in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, Jews bowed down to the statue of Nebuchadnezzar that was erected in the valley of Dura. Mordechai didn't. Hanani Mishrov Azariah didn't bow down. The salvation of a generation can only come through somebody who did not commit the error of the generation. I have a feeling in this first pasuk when it says that Moshe went out amongst his brethren. The first blow, there is a blow that's going to be struck in this pasuk. He's going to strike the Mitzri. But the main blow that he strikes over here is Nosam Einav V'Libo. He focused his eyes and his heart. The eyes and the heart of the Jewish people had been closed, had been dimmed, had been darkened since the death of Yaakov, when there's a first Jew who walks out there and he opens his eyes. He opens his eyes. That means a dramatic change is taking place. Ultimately, the process has begun. While there is nobody else in Mitzrayim who has yet been able to open up their eyes and their hearts, Jews had already reached a point in time where they were insensitive already to their own pain. Chaim Shmuel Levitz writes about how unusual a human being is. You can become accustomed to the most terrible, terrible of circumstances. And he was talking indeed about Jews in the death camps. Unbelievable what the human being is able to become accustomed to. And those who are not flexible enough, those who aren't able to get accustomed, were the first ones to die. All of a sudden, there's somebody whose eyes and his heart, they're opening up. And that opening up is going to be the beginning of the opening up of the eyes and the hearts of all of the Jewish people. And ultimately, of course, Moshe Rabbeinu is going to become the eye and the heart of the Jewish people. But we haven't yet explained what does eye represent and what does heart represent. So if you turn over, and don't get at all frustrated, don't get all unnerved. I'm going to base what I'm going to say on these Rashi's. The two pieces here don't talk about the Rashi at all. Nobody talks about the Rashi's. For that matter, I haven't seen anybody who talks about these four Rashi's. Except we're talking about it right here. The top of the page is the work of a great Hasidic master, the Shem Yishmuel, the Sochitz of a Rebbe. Who his sefer on Chumash is called Shem Yishmuel. His name was Shmuel Bernstein. His father was the Avnei Ezer, the great posek at the end of the 19th and beginning of the 20th century. And that's number six. Number seven is of Soloveitchik. And here it is, great chassid, great misnagid, and I have a feeling that both of them are moving in a very similar direction. They use different kinds of terminology. But let's start with the Shem Yishmuel. And in the Shem Yishmuel, we're going to find other things that are significant. The Shem Yishmuel is talking about the first pasuk in Parsha Shemos. And here again, I really goofed. At the top of the page, I should have had the first pasuk in Parsha Shemos. 4 o'clock in the morning, it's not easy either, you know. Am I leaving you with the impression that I burn the... Yeah. I was thinking about something. I couldn't sleep. Sorry, I'm fine. The first pasuk in Sefer Shemot is Ve'ele Shemot B'nei Yisrael Habo'im Mitzrayimu. These are the names of the children of Israel who came to Egypt. Et Yaakov, with Yaakov, Ish u'beito ba'u, each man and his family came. What's bothering many of the Mefarshim, and what's bothering the Shem Yishmuel, and this is something that we always have to be conscious of, but don't ask me all the time, you know, because it takes a tremendous amount of effort. There's a switch in the pasuk from the name Yisrael to the name Yaakov. Ela Shemot B'nei Yisrael, these are the names of the children of Israel who came to Egypt with Yaakov, Ishu Beit Ovo. What's the significance of moving from the name Yisrael to the name Yaakov? And very often it can be from the name Yaakov to the name Yisrael. We're only going to deal with what he deals with here. So just follow me, halta, a finger on the plot, say as I was known, and then just follow me, and we'll go through this reasonably quickly. The Nira Old Lawyer also seems to me to say, Shashnei Hashemot, these two men, Yaakov and Yisrael, Magbilim, they correspond. The Shnei Mine Litzui, to two kinds of ideas. That's how I'm translating. Each one means something else. Shem Yisrael, he says, the name Yisrael refers to the intellect, the mind. Shem Yisrael, who mitzad ma'alat ha'sechel, the name Yisrael talks about the advantage and the talent of intellect. V'Yisrael, in Chassidic writing, Yisrael are the letters Li Rosh. Yisrael, the last letter followed by the first is Li, and then Shin Aleph Reish, Reish Aleph Shin, Li Rosh. That's what it is said in Chassidic terminology. So that Yisrael represents the power of intellect. Kamosha Kosov, as it says, Besvarim HaKadoshim in the Holy Spirit. V'hainu, Shehashem Yisborach Omer, and Yisrael, God says about Israel, Li Rosh. To me, their head is to me. They understand me. They see me. They acknowledge me. Intellectually, they know me. Hainu, Shehasechel Nirtzah. The intellect of the Jewish people is accepted before God. Shem Yaakov says the name Yaakov talks about feelings, emotions, desires. You may be getting the drift of what I'm going to do with this. That Yisrael represents intellect. Those are the eyes. Yaakov represents feeling. That's the lathe, okay? Now I'm just telling you in advance exactly where I'm going and what I'm going to do with it. Why does Yaakov represent feelings? V'shem Yaakov mitzav ma'alat shukak Yisrael shebelev, the desire in the heart of Israel. Shebozeh mitachdim ba'aklal. That's how they all become one unit. Because he's going to explain that the word Yaakov comes from the word Ekev. Ekev is the heel. The heel represents humility. The only way it's possible to have a united people is if we conduct ourselves with humility. If, as Ben Gurion said, he has 3 million prime ministers in this country, it's difficult to have unity. The unity of the Jewish people is dependent upon the idea that one is ready to humble himself before all of Klal Yisrael. That unites them. And you know what that accomplishes? That union brings to love between Jew and fellow Jew. So Yisrael represents intellect. Yaakov represents feelings. Further, V'hainu, D'shem Yaakov hu hachna. The name Yaakov means to be humble. B'chinat ekev, like the heel. By virtue of the fact that each Jew humbles himself before the greater good of all of Israel, as Chazal say, you know what the Jewish people are like? They're a shepsala. If a shepsala gets a clap on the hand, the whole body feels it. That's exactly what Jews are supposed to be like. If a Jew someplace in the world is in suffering or in pain, the body of the Jewish people throughout the world should feel it. Nimshu Yisrael said, Israel are compared to a shepsal, a sheep. Maser zeh lo ka'al rosho, a seh gets a hit on the head, or in any one of the parts of his body. V'chol eivorov margishin, all of the organs of the body feel it. Was that by feeling, this is the point that he's making, by feeling, by having, well, let's already call it a Yiddish hearts. If you have a Yiddish hearts, then we can create a sense of unity. We become a single people. The whole Chukos Yisrael, Hain Chukak, because then all of the desires of Israel are one. She built in Midas Achnol without. This character trait of humility, they can't be unity. If everybody stands on his opinion, and it's a matter of principle, you understand? Nothing personal, matter of principle, and then there's never going to be any unity. And everybody's desire is to be at the top. You understand? Everybody wants to be at the top. What was it? Last week they had in the paper that there are five members of Knesset in merits, and four of them were running for the head of the body. And then the fifth who wasn't, he backed out of the race. Yossi Bailin backed out of the race. That's real unity, you know. Four members of Knesset, and all four want to be there. Wait till we get closer to elections of the Alavai, so maybe the health minister should come to Mehevo Yomenu. There are going to be all sorts of great leaders of the Jewish people that are going to come out of the woodwork. Mamish, everybody's going to be head of Kedina. Boy, they're going to fight around and say, I'm never do. Okay. Unity can only be achieved through humility. And the unity that is achieved through humility brings to the Achdus, the Ahava of Klal Yisrael. That's what the name Yaakov says. So therefore Yisrael, this is a very fascinating difference between the two names. There are others, by the way. Other Mepharshim give all sorts of different interpretations of the meaning of the name Yisrael and the name Yaakov. But here the Shem Yishmael says, Yisrael is intellect, is mind, the ability to penetrate the secrets of this world, of creation. And Yaakov represents heart, ability to unite. Then it goes on to say that Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim were faced with an assault on their minds and an assault on their hearts. Mitzrayim was the crucible in which this people was going to be forged. What was the great test of Egypt? The great test of Egypt is that there is going to be an attack by a culture, both on their minds, on the intellect, an idolatrous, pagan, heathen culture, and here they are, surrounded by all that. And then, of course, Mitzrayim was also a very immoral society, absolutely immoral. Kol Davaroso was a mitzvah there. As, by the way, most pagan and heathen societies were precisely that. All sorts of promiscuous orgiastic activity was carried on all in the name of their deities. So that the assault on the Jewish people was an assault on the mind, and the mind is Ayin. The eye sees, the eye penetrates. Feelings, this is all Lev. So he goes on to say that he made his soul in its time when it's fishing and middle. They have to go through a process of cleansing. Now he says the following. The assault came in two parts. Because there was a struggle between the Jewish people and Paro and the people of Egypt. Paro represented the mind. Paro was the intellect. Mitzrayim, the masses of people, well, the decaying, decrepit, evil society. Yitro later on in Parsha, Yitro, when he finally comes to Moshe out in the desert, he says, Baruch Hashem, blessed is God, Asher Hitzul Etchem, Miyad Mitzrayim, Umiyad Paro. Thank God that he saved you from the hand of Mitzrayim and the hand of Paro. Why the hand of Mitzrayim and the hand of Paro? Because those represented the two assaults, the two attacks, the two crises, a crisis of mind, a crisis of intellect, and a crisis of heart, of feeling, of conduct. So he says, Baruch Hashem, I'm going to the second column, Rashi said, Mitzrayim, Umar Kosher, difficult people, Paro Melech Kosher, Paro, a king who's difficult. The enslavement of the Jewish people in Egypt was doubled. There were two dimensions. There were two dimensions of it. Now you understand already. I can let you, that's how I learned the first Rashi. In Vayechi, when Yaakov was about to die, Nistmu Einehem V'Libom Shel Yisrael. The mind, the intellect of the Jewish people, their hearts, their feelings, have all been overshadowed and darkened. And as I say, that's going to continue until the day that Moshe walks out and the beginning of the opening of the eyes and the opening of the heart. And that's why, so it means, therefore, that the enslavement in Egypt, or the challenge of Egypt, the crisis of Egypt, was double. Mityaches l'mitzchayim levad u'paro levad. It was a crisis of Egypt and a crisis of Paro. Vayinu, because the king represents intellect. The king represents intellect. The king is the head of the people. What does head represent by the Jewish people? Yisrael, Li Rosh. Paro is the great intellect. The king is the head and the intellect, corresponding to the heart and the body. That great ability of the Jewish people to think clearly was challenged and ultimately cleansed through Paro. Umayos Achukash of Israel, desires, lusts, were cleansed through their confrontation with Egypt. And that's represented in the name Yaakov. And as I say, that represents Lev. Behind the Parohoy and the Chashi of Godel, the Kor Hatuma of Avivizora, Hefil al Asechos of Israel, Paro was a great sorcerer. And he had all sorts of hidden powers of the Zohar. He darkened the intellect of Israel. Mitzrayim b'sar chalorim b'sar. The Gemara says about Mitzrayim that they are the flesh of donkeys. They were promiscuous. They were promiscuous. Moshkot Yisrael the Chukos Ros. They draw Klal Yisrael to evil feelings. Abu Yisrael nimzu shleimim v'lo nimshuchu b'sichlo machaparo. Yisrael, at the end of the day, they remain complete in their intellect and were not drawn after Paro v'lo b'chukasa machabitzchayim, and their desires they did not follow. They didn't follow the Jew. In the last piece, he's going to say, therefore we find, and I'm going to add a little bit to what he says, there are a lot of double turns. God says to Yaakov in Beersheba before he goes down to Mitzrayim, Al tirah midom Mitzrayim, don't be afraid to go down to Egypt. Onochi edeimcha, I will go down with you. Onochi eelcha, gam olok. Eelcha, I will take you out. Gam olok, you will also go up. Double. Both Yaakov and Yosef say, Pokod Yifkod Hashem Elokim Etchem. Remember, God will remember you. What would have been wrong if it said, Pokod Hashem Etchem, God is going to remember you. Ki Pokod Pokarati, I remember. And we just read a pasuk over here where God says, Ro'o Ro'iti, seen I have seen. Why the double terminology? So the Shem Yishmuel says, because Onochi El Chokamoho, I'm going to take you up, you're going to rise from the intellectual confrontation with Egypt, and you are going to arise from the confrontation with the lusts of Mitzrayim. Your eyes and your heart are going to emerge pure. Pakod Yivkod, God will remember your intellectual struggle, and God will remember your emotional struggle. God will remember the struggle against Paro and the struggle against Mitzrayim. God is going to take out of Mitzrayim Yisrael and Yaakov. So I take the Shem Shmuel, And I say, well, now I understand first Rashi and second Rashi. First Rashi is talking about the mind, the eyes, and the heart are closed, that the, I could say most probably because the assault in the first instance was an assault on the intellect. And only after they had been a long time in Mitzrayim and were surrounded by all the evil of Mitzrayim did the assault come against the feelings and the heart of the Jewish people. Moshe Rabbeinu goes out that day, and he takes a look and he sees they are fighting the battle. Remember, they're going to emerge, Kamei Mitzrayim, they're going to emerge with a clear identity. They have not lost their identity in Mitzrayim. Not lost our identity. All right, that's, I have not yet explained the two psukim that deal with God, where heart precedes eyes, intellect precedes feelings. I mean, I would say that on its simplest stuff, you know, why wait till the end when I might as well, I might very well forget what to say. I think that as far as the Rabbeinu Shlom is concerned, when he prepares to take the Jewish people out of Egypt, when he says, Ra'o Ra'isi, I have seen the suffering of my people. Do you know how he presents himself to us? As Avinu Malkeinu. Avinu Malkeinu. You know what I mean by Avinu Malkeinu? When God sees our suffering, the first thing is he emotes. I know their pain. I know their suffering. And it is after he feels the pain, then he's going to act like the Melech, who is going to move all opposition out of his way and take the people out. With regard to man, the Jewish people, Yaakov, the Jewish people, Moshe, it's mind before intellect. Mind before feelings. Ayin before lev. As far as God is concerned, Avinu Avarachamon, Hashem Elokeinu. Hashem Elokeinu, that's Yudke Vavke. That is God's mercy and his compassion. Elokeinu is king, judge. As far as Ben is concerned, it's Ayin, eye, and heart. But as far as God is concerned, Rashi is consistent in both cases. Nasan libo ve'enav, as he's to take Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, what functions is, if I can say it about the Dovereshim, what functions is Ayidish Aharz. It's the heart of the Dovereshim Yisrael that dictates what's going to take place from there on in and further. So now we come to the Chav. I always, you know, I always have this fear and trepidation. You know, when I take a great piece of Shem Yishmuel or a great shtickle of the Chav, you know that I should do it well. You know, not you know, be zeicher to transmit the words as they were said and as they were meant. The Chav talks about a machlokas in the Medrash. There is an archlogus in the Medrash, there's a pasuk that says, Ha-chochmo me'ayin ti-motzei. Where does wisdom come from? Where do you find wisdom? And it's an archlogus between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yehoshua. Rabbi Eliezer says that wisdom is in the heart. How do you like that? Wisdom is in the heart. And Rabbi Yehoshua says, wisdom, Rabbi Eliezer says, it's in the head. Ha-chochmo me'ayin ti-matze. Rabbi Eliezer says, it's in the head. Rabbi Yeshua with the leg. And then the Medrash goes on to say, you know, the truth is like Rabbi Yehoshua. Understand that wisdom is in the heart. The Omar who says, ha-chochmo me'ayin ti-matze, because it says, the nosato, you God gave simcha b'libi, happiness into my heart. Vein simcha ala chochma. What is joy? Joy is wisdom. Shenema chacham ve'id, the sameach the Samach would be, if my son is wise, then I'm happy. Anyway, the law goes on to say that, of course, we have to understand that the fact is that wisdom is in the heart and also in the mind, and feelings are both in the heart and the mind. The point that he wants to make is the following. There are two kinds, he's going to take it one step further, there are two kinds of wisdom. The feelings of the heart are also a form of wisdom. The wisdom of the head, he calls Chochmas HaRosh, the wisdom of the head. But you know what? You have to have a Kugel Herz also. You have to have a wise heart. I think, isn't that what Shlomo HaMelech asked for, you know? A heart that's maven, a heart that understands. So there's Chochmas HaRosh and there's Chochmas HaLev. Chochma of the heart. All the way this strides forward in the ancient world were done by the Greeks, who had a tremendous amount of Chochmas HaRosh. Wisdom of the heart, they had it. And he lists all of them.
Head of the head.
Good, you're listening. You always listen. It's so good. It's a pleasure. Greeks, Kaka, had wisdom of the head. And he lists Democritus, who studied the atom, Pythagoras and Euclid, math, Archimedes with physics, Ptolemy with astronomy. Hey, what the great wisdom, of the Greeks, what I've been talking about, Socrates and Plato and Aristotle, finished. I don't know what happened in the last 2,500 years. I don't know what happened to Greece. I don't have a clue what happened to Greece. But sorry from Anthony Quinn, I don't know if they had a gobble. And even probably was an Italian. They didn't have a gobble in 2,500 years. The Jewish people, Torah warns Chochmas HaRosh, wisdom of the heart, of the head. Man has to ponder, man has to think, man has to know the secrets of creation, of the physical creation. Every bit of knowledge that we are able to amass makes God be seen by us even more than we ever said it before, saw him before. Even though he says, but let's not over exaggerate, he says that he believes that anybody who can learn a Blat Gemara, requires a greater degree of intense thought and concentration than many of the sciences, if not all of the sciences. But Torah, so therefore, Torah is the Chochmas HaRosh. Torah is the wisdom of the head of the Jewish people. We have a Chochmas HaRosh, and we don't in any way downgrade the Chochmas HaRosh of knowing the world. That's also a great mitzvah. But there's a difference between Chochmas HaRosh and Chochmas HaLev. Chochmas HaRosh wants to differentiate between truth and falsehood. Emet v'sheker. Chochmas HaLev wants to differentiate and see clearly the differences between Tov and Ra, good and evil. Two different powers, two different talents. And here he says something that I tell you when I see it, in all humility, we're talking about humility today. There's an idea that I expressed years ago here. Who was the first great Chacham of the head in this world? Avraham Avinu. And you know what Avraham Avinu, how often we talk about the great discovery, he discovered God. In a world in which God had been forgotten, lost, nobody knew about him. Avraham, by dint of his great genius, is the one who discovers the existence of God. It's an awesome, earth-shattering discovery that he shares with the rest of the world. But by the same token, you know what else Avraham Avinu became? He became the genius of Chochmas Halev. He became the genius of wisdom of the heart. He became the great Baal Chesed. The man who was overflowing with kindness. That's his greatness. His Chochmas Halev, you know, there are a lot of, we talked about it in the past. A lot of people can have Geshev Kaf, great heads, powerful intellect. And they can be the most miserable human beings. To be a genius, to be a genius, and yet to be a genius in goodness, that's a tremendous, tremendous accomplishment. And the Rambam says in the Maran Kochum, the real challenge, even the Rambam, who was the great intellect, and who was the one who said that all of Torah is a matter of great intellect, all but what he talks about, the Chochmah of the wisdom of the heart. All the Nevi'im talk about the wisdom of the heart. You see, of course, where I'm going. Where I'm going, of course, is what does the eye represent? The eye is Chochmas Hadosh, the wisdom of the head. The heart is Chochmas HaLev, the wisdom of the heart. Now here, we'll do a little bit reading in Rav Soloveitchik. Later on he says, this is not in this section over here, but he says that the modern man, his head is all messed up. Head is all messed up. Has all sorts of ideas going through it. So he says, if he would have the kayak, you know what he would do? And Hashanah Yom Kippur, when we say Hashanu, Bogadnu, Bozalnu, Divanu, and we clap on our hearts, you know what he would say? We should clap over here, Hashanu, Bogadnu, Bozalnu, Divanu. What we did with the Yiddish cup, you understand? We've turned the Yiddish cup upside down. And the Yiddish cup doesn't think like a Jew. Doesn't think like a Jew. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Every day you see. I'm controlling myself. Great self-control. Not to give all sorts of examples. I get upset. I'm not going to say it now. I don't know if my resolve will hold out for another 15 minutes. I'm not sure. I don't know. My heart says that I shouldn't let out my base hearts over here. But no, what I can do. The law says that there are a number of differences between Chochmas HaRosh and Chochmas HaLev. Wisdom of the head and wisdom of the heart. Where it's on the line, HaChochmas HaRosh, the Chochmah of the head is only interested in the utilitarian and the practical. What can I do with it? What does it mean for me? Does it have a tachlis? Do I benefit or don't I benefit from it? The intellectual mind works along those lines. He nechapeset b'ikar tachlit v'toelet. It seeks mainly a goal, an objective, a benefit. He ne'amanala adamo ledavar kozman shehisigurashe tuchal l'matzman. Oh boy, this is... She remains... The heart, the mind, remains faithful only as long as one feels that one has a benefit from him. He gives a very, very painful example. Very painful example. Nishtof Inskezok. Gives the example that children, as far as long as their parents are young, or they're robust, and they're well, no? Wonderful relationship. What happens when old age begins, and there's illness, and there's heen, and there's hair, and you know, parents are getting in the way of their yuppie style of life, you know. We can't be burdened with them, so you know, they just hustle them off to a Moshe's Canaan. Because as long as they were of benefit, okay. But you know, they're really getting in the way. You know, we have to go back tonight, we're going here, we're going there. I mean, what's going to... I mean, very painful, painful thing. He says, this is Chochmas HaRosh. Chochmas HaRosh has one criteria. Criteria is, benefit, I get something out of it, there's something in it for me, then it has value. It's not for me, it's not benefiting for me, it loses its value. In the second paragraph, Hakav ha'afeni ha'sheni shebehevdil bein chokhma shebehrosh u bein chokhma shebelev. The second characteristic that is a difference between wisdom of the head and wisdom of the heart is a direct result in totsa'a yeshida shebehakav ha'afeni ha'rushon. It's the direct result of the first difference that we just said. Here it comes, becomes profound over here. It says, Chochma Shebarosh, the intellectual. Chochma Shebarosh Oser Ta'adam L'me'ein Navad Ruchani. What a term. Chochma Shebarosh can turn a human being into a spiritual nomad. Because the intellect without the heart is very much universal in nature. The whole world. You know what happens with this whole world? You love everybody in the world. Every fashlugin a cholera. But not your own people. There's a wandering of the head. Because intellect is a very universal kind of thing. Oh boy, do we see this? Do we see this all over? Watch what the Chof says. A navad ruchani, a spiritual nomad. She'en lo bayit mishelo. He has no home of his own. V'she'en lo mesugal litkashel l'shum makom b'keshe shol kayama. And he never can find a bond with any place, an eternal bond with any place on the face of this earth. The whole earth, world is his oyster. He describes, later on he describes a conversation with a scientist once asked the Chof that, you know, he's been all over the world and he spent a few months in Israel, and, you know, he went to study the land, went through it, and he says to the Chof, you know, there's really nothing of any great value in Israel. There's nothing of any value there. There are no natural resources. It's just something. You know what? Jews would be very wise if they would just give the whole thing to the Arabs. This is what the man says to the Lord. The Lord explains this is an example of a person has no heart. He's all head. And as all head, he has no way of connecting with time and place. He's a man without a country. That's what great intellect, or for that matter, somebody who thinks he's a great intellect, don't necessarily think that everybody who talks or acts like a Gaisa intellectual is a Gaisa intellectual. Okay. Now, don't let them cow you into thinking that, well, wow, this is a Gaisa intellectual. And the Chof gives a beautiful example. So take a look down. He gives an example from nature. You can't plant tropical plants. You can't plant tropical plants by the North Pole. That's all tropical plants are by the equator. And there are things that will grow in New York that won't grow at the equator. In nature, everything has a place. The intellectual may have no place at all. And he takes a Rashi in, I should have turned this into a tale of six Rashis, or I can tell you the fifth one. Oh God. Okay, I'm racing against time. It says, you see, underline first column, by Yitzhar Hashem Elokim et Adam Ot Ben Adam, God formed man, dust from the earth. Rashi is going to say two pshatim down here, and then we're going to have the second half of the Rashi down here. God formed man from the earth. Rashi says, Sofar HaKorum Yikolo Adoma, the Abba Ruchos, he took earth from all four corners of the world, brought them all together, and he made man, שבכל מקום שיונה סודק בחדת מהם מידי, שם תהי קולת התול לתפורה. The earth will receive him, will receive him for burial. In other words, if he would have only come from the earth of the equator, maybe the North Pole wouldn't be a place to be buried. There's going to be a second pshat in Rashi, and that's right across on the other side. Vayitzer Hashem elokim et ha'adam of ben adam adavar acha, not al afaro mimakom shenemar bo mizbach adamah ta'aseh li. He took the earth from which he made men, from under the mizbeach and our har habayit, from the place that ultimately man receives forgiveness. The Chos says there are two pshatim in Rashi. The first pshat in Rashi is talking about universal man, where his earth comes, the earth with which he's formed, comes from all over the world, and he's a man for all seasons, and he's a man for the whole world. Wherever he's going to be, that's wherever he dies, that's where we'll see him. This is the man who has lost touch with feelings, has no feelings, because he's so, the whole world. But this is second pshat in Rashi, that God created man from the earth, under the altar, under the Mizbeach, and Har HaBayit, the place from which ultimately man will receive forgiveness and atonement. That's the man who has Chochmas HaLev, the wisdom of the heart. Without the wisdom of the heart, and they go one step, well, not one step further than the Rav would say it, one, the intellectual, the Chochom HaRosh, may very well become an enemy of his own people. An enemy of his own people. He has no roots. No roots. No place means anything to him. Whole world. And in that whole world, Jews don't count for much. But then there's the one who has the Chochmas HaLev. Chochmas HaLev. What was it that was concealed from the Jewish people with the death of Yaakov? Nistmu einehem v'libom shel Yisrael. The eyes, the intellect, and the heart come under assault from Paro and Mitzrayim. And when Moshe walks out that great day, and he looks, so it says, Nasan eino v'libo, he begins the process of freeing Klal Yisrael from the Shibur of Mitzrayim. His mind and his heart are working in unison, like a Jewish mind and a Jewish heart. But when Rashi talks about the Levain Shalom, as I said earlier, there it's always laid before Ayin, because when God sees his people suffering, he functions as Hashem Elokim, Avinu Malkeinu. He is moved, he's propelled by his heart. And therefore, he feels for them. And therefore, once he feels for them, lo alim einayim lechem, I'm not going to remove my eyes from them, and I'm not going to close up my ears, I'm going to listen. There was the fifth Rashi that I put in at about 3:30 in the morning. Turn it over. About God, it says, I have one of the psukim here. God says, "Ki yodati et machovav." I know his pain. The other Rashi, the other pasuk also says, "Vayeda Elokim," and God knew. Rashi number 5 is the Rashi where God says to Avram, "Ki." You know that Rashi, Malkit. You know that Rashi. In the shir 10 years ago, you reminded me that Rashi. I heard the tape. I heard Malkit. Ki yedatev, God says, because I know Avraham that he is going to commend his children after him to follow the ways of God. Rashi says, do you know what yedia means? Knowledge? Love. Love. Love is heart. When God says, I've seen the pain of my people, Yadati et Machovav, you know what's operating by the Ruvain Shalom? Ayidish Shahars. And therefore, Rashi says in both cases, laid before Ayin. And Rashi goes on to say, it's an amazing Rashi. Rashi says, so why did he use the word no? For love? Because he says, if you really love somebody, then you want to know them. And therefore, when it says, Vayeda Odon es Chava Ishto, Odon knew his wife Chava, this is not some kind of a euphemism, as though Torah is afraid to say, like what happened between Odon and Chava. Vayeda means that the essence of love is to know the other person fully, know what troubles them, know what bothers them, know what their feelings are, what their hopes are. Yiddiya, yiddiya. When God sees the pain of the Jewish people, Vayeda Elokim. And what's fascinating about Vayeda Elokim, Elokim is the shame that represents judgment, harshness. But once Vayeda, once he's full of love, even Elokim becomes the God of mercy and compassion. Four Rashis, and Rashi is precise in each case, absolutely precise. And I say I built this on the Shem Yishmuel and Rasal Beitzi. Shem Yishmuel talks about Yisrael and Yaakov. Yisrael is Li Rosh, Yaakov is Eker, Hachno, humility, Arbor, unity of the Jewish people. And the Vav talks about Chochmas HaRosh and Chochmas HaRosh.